So many Rambans are landmark essays about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, major events in Jewish history, historical process, our relationship with Torah. What makes them so challenging is that they seem unremarkable. His writing style, a la Torah, sometimes appears matter-of-factly, and because he's quoting so many psukim, he spoke in Tanakh language, he has such a command of Tanakh, it's a little bit dense, and you're reading, and he has certain meanings that he intends, and we're not always sensitive to them, and the interlacing between Kabbalah and non-Kabbalah sometimes makes it tough negotiating. There is such a Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Truma, which is really seminal. But unless you read it a few times, or you know what you're looking for, it may just seem like very humdrum, like just a very loose statement, but there's a lot in this Ramban. The Ramban wants to address the function of the Mishkan, and implicit in his comment is really the location of the Mishkan in Parshas Truma, before the entire Torah had been delivered. To a degree, we would expect the conclusion of Har Sinai in Yisrael to be the delivery of the entire Torah. And yet we only receive a very truncated or synopsisized version in Mishpatim, the laws of Choshev Mishpat, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro perhaps, but certainly so many of the laws of ritual and Bein Adam L'Makom were missing. So that's Ramban's really first comment. And keep in mind that according to the Ramban, the Mishkan is not a response to Egel. The Mishkan is a direct, frontal mandate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no need to tether it to the Egel, and the Egel doesn't figure at all in the Ramban's description of Mishkan. For Rashi, he's got a very easy definition of the Mishkan. It's an opportunity for Kapara and for Tshuva, and the only question is, why was it literarily relocated out of context? But according to the Ramban, that whole Egel association doesn't exist. So, first the Ramban discusses the fact that we already committed to a relationship with Hashem. We spoke with Him face to face. He delivered the Aseres Adibros, which is a concise tract containing the code of all mitzvos and various Gaonim, probably most famously, Rav Sadia Gaon, was able to derive all the mitzvos from the Tariag mitzvos. And Am Yisrael accepted everything that Hashem would demand of them. And this has the sense of a conversion process. And the relationship was formed. Now, before Torah is delivered, that relationship has to be cemented. And the relationship is cemented by the construction of a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in, literally for the Shechina to dwell in, so that relationship can exist in a very visceral and daily fashion. So, to a degree, if we read the Ramban between the lines, the relationship comes before mitzvahs. Obviously, we believe that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only complete through the performance of mitzvahs, through the submission to His will. But at least chronologically, there seems to be a sequencing that we accepted mitzvos in concept, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered a code of all mitzvos, and we essentially converted to Judaism, and we signed a covenant. We became His people. He became our God, and these are really the psukim in Yisrael, Atem Tiuli, Mamlechas Konim, Virgai Kadosh, Eila Dvarim, Vasas Chemak and Fenisharim, which speak not of mitzvos, but of relationship, Visim Lisigula. And before mitzvahs anchor that relationship, the relationship has to just be coalesced around presence. So the Mishkan is built, and the purpose of the Mishkan is not directly the performance of mitzvahs and rituals, just simply the presence of Hashem and the realization of that relationship or the actualization of that relationship through their physical presence. Excuse me, that's why the Ramban says the Aron is featured in Truma as the first. The Aron, and by extension, the Kapores, and even more by extension, the Shulchan and the Menorah, which the Ramban doesn't say this here, but in other places he hints to it, which creates an ambience of a home environment that at least we're able to sense from the human perspective that Hashem is dwelling amongst us in a palatial but domestic setting. Whereas in Vayakel, the outer edifice of the Mishkan is built before the kelim are inserted into the Mishkan. So the chatzer is built, and the kurashim, and the various elements of the spine of the mikdash, the curtains and the tapestries. But that's just functional before you place vessels and ornaments and altars. Before you build them, you must have a place to house them and protect them. But at least conceptually, fundamentally, since the primary purpose of the Mishkan is to create the presence of Hashem and to cement that relationship, so the elements of the Mishkan that reflect presence of Hashem in a domestic setting are highlighted in Truma, or at least are placed first. There are a second part of the Ramban, and it's interesting because they really are two very separate parts, and if you don't notice the shift, you may miss it. Speaks about the fact that in addition to creating a presence of Hashem, the Mishkan replicated Har Sinai. The language of the Ramban is Vesod HaMishkan, we call it the secret or the underlying function of the Mishkan, Shi HaKavod Asher Shachana Har Sinai, the presence of Hashem which was apparent and descended on Har Sinai, Shochen Alav Benistar, should reside amongst the Mishkan or upon the Mishkan Benistar, in a less explicit but more quiet, less visible, less obvious fashion. And essentially the Ramban is saying that Hashem's presence in the Mishkan can't be severed from the first time he revealed himself. That becomes the paradigm, the template. For Hashem's presence to exist in the Mishkan on a daily basis, the Mishkan has to somehow replicate Har Sinai, because Har Sinai becomes the model for Hashem's Gilui Shechina. How does the Mishkan replicate Har Sinai? In two primary factors. One is the actual presence of Hashem, and that's why the Pasuk in the end of Pekudei that describes the Mishkan mentions the Mishkan twice, and even the Pasuk in Eile Pekudei Mishkan Mishkan Haidos, not the Pasuk the Ramban refers to, but there are a lot of Pesukim that mention, or at least two, that mention the word Mishkan twice. For the Ramban, this is a code for a Pasuk, actually in Devarim, in Veschanan, that Ukvod Hashem Malei Mishkan, the fact that the Mishkan is mentioned twice, because in Devarim, Har Sinai is described as an event in which Hashem's kavod and gadlut was displayed. Hein harenu Hashem elokeinu es kavodo v'es gadlo. Without differentiating now between kavod and gadlus of Hashem, they mean two very different things, but there was a duality on display at Har Sinai, and those two aspects of Hashem were also imminent in the Mishkan, and therefore the Mishkan is mentioned twice. The Ramban is more elaborate about how Hashem spoke to Moshe. And here as well, there's a double language, Vaishma, Esakol, Midabarila, Me'alak HaPorashim, Ben Shinei HaKruvim, Vaidabarila. This is actually a pasuk in Nasa, that Moshe hears the voice of Hashem, and the word Vaidabar appears twice. And the Ramban says, that's because the voice of Hashem descended upon the Mishkan, and then after that descent upon the Mishkan, then it spoke to Moshe from the Mishkan, not from Shemayim, from the two Kruvim, which were gold, and that gold reflected, at least in coloration, the yellow fire. So just as on Har Sinai, Hashem had descended from Shemayim to rendezvous with Moshe at Har Sinai, and then spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. Hashem didn't speak to Moshe from Shemayim, Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. That two-staged process of descent and communication is replicated in the Mishkan on a daily basis. Hashem descends upon the Kruvim, speaks to Moshe through a fire-like tint, so that Moshe remembers the experience at Har Sinai. And that's why when Moshe speaks to Hashem, or Hashem speaks to Moshe, there's a double employment of the word Vayidaber. But this is really the second point of the Ramban, that the Mishkan is not just a house for the presence of Hashem Shechina, to cement our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even before the laws and rituals emerged, but that experience of encountering Hashem and the revelation of Hashem has to replicate, has to reproduce Har Sinai, because Har Sinai becomes a paradigm of Gilui Shechina, and the Mishkan becomes an extension of Har Sinai. So it's really an important Ramban, but it's divided into two. Number one, why is there a description of the Mishkan before the halachos are delivered? And the answer is because the Mishkan is meant to fortify the or intensify the relationship even before the mitzvahs. Again, there can't be a relationship without commitment to mitzvahs. So they'd already committed to receive the mitzvahs, and they'd receive the code of all the mitzvahs, but before the delineation of each mitzvah, the relationship is reinforced. Number two, for that relationship to be reinforced, Hashem's presence must descend. Hashem's presence can only descend if the Mishkan recreates Har Sinai, and it recreates Har Sinai on two fronts. One is the duality of kavod and goat and godless of Hashem. Number two is the way in which Hashem spoke to Moshe. And again, the Mishkan can't just be a place for the Shekhinah. It has to be a center or a locus in which Hashem speaks to Moshe as he did at Har Sinai. Har Sinai was not just revelation to the people. It was also more direct prophecy to Moshe. And the same duality, or dichotomy in many ways, has to exist in the Mishkan, where there's a Gila Shekhinah that everyone is exposed to, but Moshe receives the direct or the directly revealed word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.